We had good energy today. I thought it was once again a little warm out there, but we had good energy, good juice. The guys competed really hard. We got some more reps with our ones, twos, and threes kind of together, where we've been mostly working ones and twos, but we got a lot of two deep guys, a little extra work today, and our ones got work, but we got the second guys and the third guys a lot more work trying to develop some more depth. To get some good on good, we picked out some things we needed to work on and some areas of concern and areas we need to improve. And we tried to work on those, specific situational football, and then we did a lot of fundamental work. We'll go back tomorrow and Thursday a little more physical.
Whether it's explicit or not, do you guys take this time, especially since you've got two bye weeks, and maybe introduce some things that you're going to see kind of down the road?
Yeah, we did today. We had three periods of what we call teach work, and we did three or four periods against each other, and then we did three or four periods separate, where we pick out something that not one team does. We don't go work on team X. We just go work on things that teams do that we don't do. So we get exposure to it might be empty. It might be whatever, three back runs. We just pick out something that we're going to see in the future and work on. So we're trying to do that right now.
What do you feel like you have to work the most on right now, Coach?
Blocking, tackling, ability to not give up explosive plays, affect the quarterback, get on the perimeter offensively, get the ball to our playmakers, a lot of things. But that's what practice is for. So we're trying to help our guys. There's a lot of things that we need to work on, and you can't do them all every day. So we try to target a few things that we need to improve on for the upcoming games.
You said after the game that you need to let Jake do what he does best, which is.
No, I didn't say that. I think you misquoted. What I said was that we didn't get the call to him fast enough so that he could do what he does best. And it came out that we didn't let him do what he does best. We didn't get the call to him fast enough. So we got to do a better job of getting the call to him so he can do that. Because when you're down on the play clock, it doesn't give him enough time to do that. And that's what he does well. And we had two or three times that, I mean, I bet you he had the call with 11 or 12 seconds left, and that's not enough time.
Okay. Why the place came in later than typical?
Just didn't do a good job getting them in. I mean, it's not like we're by design. I mean, two of them, they got in early enough. Just the communication was crossed up between the signal and the formation, and he fixed it. I mean, like I said, after the game, he makes things that are wrong right, and he fixed them. But when you add that time in to the time the play was signaled in, it doesn't leave a lot of time on the play clock.
Some questions some folks had about whether Notre Dame players faked the injury in that game. Do you think they did, and how common is that in college?
Number one, in my opinion, does not matter whether I think they did or they didn't. It has no bearing whatsoever, so I don't think I even need to answer that question. But whether it goes on in college football or not, sure, I think it goes on.
One of the competitions I would send her is it punter? Can you talk about who's competing with Jake at punter, and is that a position that you take a hard look at?
Sure. We got two or three guys out there. Rube Wright's punting, competing with him. We've got a young man from Savannah that does a great job, Chumley, that's competing with him and punting. They haven't outpunted him in practice, and they haven't outpunted him in games or scrimmages up until Saturday. You know, he was really hitting a lot of bombs, and he didn't hit two good punts. He knows it, and we had other guys out there punting today. So we'll continue the competition just like we will at every position.
You look back at the game, I feel like, and maybe you're wrong on this, but it certainly seemed like you guys were a little quicker with the passing game, getting the ball out fast early on. Did you guys have something in mind with trying to do that, or was that just the way the coverage dictated how you did it with the screens and stuff like that?
I don't think we ran any screens. The only screen we ran, they tackled us for a 2-yard loss. So that was not a good deal. I think you may be talking about the RPOs, but those weren't screens. There's a couple of those early on that were nice and effective. There was a couple things they showed us that spooked you away from those later, and a couple of those were really tight throws that they started taking away, and they did a nice job of that. But the RPO game is something we've had. Jake does a good job with. We always have it. It's nice, but it's not always there. You know, the RPOs can be taken away with leverage and press, and it's not really who we are. We can do it, but it's not who we are. And the ability to do that helps us, and it helped us those early plays in the game. But they can do things coverage-wise that spook you with guys closing and jumping in windows where you don't want him throwing it.
In terms of injuries,
Eric was not able to go today. He was. We think he's going to be fine, but he was a little sore. He jogged yesterday and he ran today, but he wasn't able to practice. Tyson is working out, training, running, but not able to practice. Who was the other one?
Solomon.
Yeah, Solomon didn't practice today, and he'll be day to day. We think he'll be fine, but he wasn't able to go today.
What's in David Marshall?
Yeah, David's had his foot injuries bothered him all year. I mean, he's gone. He's played. I think he played 10, 11 snaps the other game. But it continuously bothers him. So we're trying to help him out with that and relieve him a little bit this week and get him back next week.
Tyreek Stevenson, the guy you were very high on in spring, is he just not ready? You went with McGee. Can you talk about that personally?
Just McGee practiced all week, did a really good job. Tyreek McGee's played corner in several games. You know, he played against Missouri a couple years ago. He played against Georgia Tech. He understands our overall system probably a little bit better right now. Tyreek Stevenson is extremely talented and is a really big physical matchup guy. And as he develops and works and learns the defense, he's going to be a really good player. And he's close. I mean, he's one of those guys that's competing for the job. Tyreek, we felt like would understand the coverages and know it. And when we had one corner out there that had never really started already on one side, and we didn't really want to have two of them out there at the time.
David, with Kyrus Jackson, how are you guys kind of managing his workload and practice with a hand injury? And kind of, do you think at all or consider that he had an injury that same thing?
No, he's doing everything. I mean, he did everything today. He's been practicing every day doing everything. He just has a club on. So, I mean, he practiced every rep today. He just has a big club on. So he does everything that we ask him to do. He stays in shape, catches punts. He caught balls today. He just catching them with one hand in a club.
You alluded the other night on the 4th-and-1 call. It's the life you lead. When it comes to the calls that are the easiest to second guess, that, the fake punt against Alabama, the field goal, what is it like to be in that moment and making that call? And do you second guess yourself?
Oh, we quality control everything. I mean, we go through – that call's unique because we had eternity. I mean, we had a review. So it wasn't like – most of those calls are split second where you've already made the decision. I mean, we talked for probably 30 minutes before the game on what we would do on 4th-and-1 or 3rd-and-1 on the goal line. What are our top plays? And then we talked for another 30 minutes of what are our top plays on 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2 out in the field. And we go through that. What is their short yardage defense? What do they do? All that's been talked about so that when that time comes, the decision's already made and I already know what I'm going to do. Now, the only thing that affects that is the ebb and flow of the game. You know, how are you playing defensively? How are you playing offensively? Is it a high-scoring game? Is it a low-scoring game? How many opportunities are they going to get to score? So that's the only thing that would affect that decision other than what you've decided before the game. So we spend a lot of time on that. I meet with the offense about short yards and goal line every week to figure out what we think's good, what we don't think's good, how we feel about our short yardage plan. And guess what you say most of the time? I feel really good about it, right? Because you're optimistic. But you get in the game and you get the ebb and flow and you decide how you think you're going to play those situations. And we did that. We talked about it on the headphones.
What can you do against the teams that put slant, like the quicker teams that are taking advantage of your size and moving quick into those, slanting into those gaps?
Well, that affects them. I mean, because when you move, you get washed. So, I mean, slanting and angling is like rolling the dice a little bit. You know, it's just – I've seen a lot of slant angle teams that got mashed, you know, by us. It usually works early, and it usually wears out later. And that's kind of what took effect. I mean, we were much more capable of running the ball as the game transpired than as the game started. And I think if you look over the history of our program, that's been the case. We're more efficient running the ball later in the game.
Look at the star position. It seems like it's so important to your defense. I know they all are, but you know, you guys go from kind of having being a little bit deficient in that position, but having put linebackers over there and all that stuff for the past couple of years, to now you've got Divide and Mark do different things, different scenarios. How much does that open things up for you to kind of be able to play matchups like that with two guys who can do so much for you there?
Well, they're really similar. There's not a lot of difference. You know, it's not like, you know, one of them's 220 and one of them's 180. I mean, they're both right at 200 pounds. They're both good athletes. They're both very sharp. They're both physical. So there's more similarities between them. I think what it allows you is the ability to play two guys and have depth. I'm very comfortable with Devon at star. I'm very comfortable with Mark Webb at star. And they compete day in and day out, and they both know that they're going to play, and they both prepare that way. And then they're both on the field in the 6DB package. So it's nice. It's a luxury that I'm not used to having, because you usually have one guy, you know, and we got two that I think are pretty good players.
You said during the offseason, if it's not broke, make it better. You guys are 4-0 right now, and relatively healthy, no season injuries. But what right now would you, and I know you said everything, but are there any things in particular?
Yeah. We're trying to affect the passer more. Our havoc rate is right on our line of where we'll be. We've been really close every game. One game we were under, the other two or three we were over, but we're trying to find more ways. So we spent the last 2 days studying teams that are leading. What are they doing? What in the SEC is working? Who's got the highest havoc rate on SEC defenses? Offensively, what can we do to get the ball to our playmakers in space? How can we do it better? How can we find plays to get guys on the perimeter and loosen some teams up, throw the ball downfield, find ways to get George the ball? I mean, it's limitless that what we're trying to do. But those are the central focus, is protect Jake, let him throw the ball vertical and let us spread the ball out some and loosen people up. We know our strength is running the ball, but, you know, sometimes teams do everything they can to take that away, and you got to have answers.
Speaking of George, there were a couple of plays the other night where – you guys ran the ball and he just manhandled his defense, blocking for the running back. What do you think of the overall blocking from your receiver group so far this year?
It's been good. Now, I'll say this. If you're talking about just perimeter blocking, I'm going to include tight ends and wideouts. We probably tied the other night because we didn't win that battle. They whipped us in some spots where we had won the other three, and give them a lot of credit. When it came to perimeter blocking, I thought their number six – did an awesome job. He's a great football player, and we didn't kick their butt. Now, George did have some good blocks. I'll agree with you there, but it's a hole on the perimeter. It wasn't a total dominant like we've been, like we've taken pride in, and we got to continue to do that to be really good, because if you want to run the ball on the perimeter, you got to block on the perimeter.
Was Amir kind of like Blaylock against Vanderbilt, and that you just couldn't get him in?
Just didn't hit the flow of the game. We didn't get many opportunities, you know, and if number seven is running the ball like he was running the ball, it's hard to give the ball to anybody else. I mean, the guy was making people miss, running possessed, and, you know, Brian was running hard, and we want to get Zamir involved, and we need to do that. And he's growing. He's getting better. I mean, he had two of the best blitz pickups I've seen out there today that he stoned them, and he's getting better, and he's getting more confident. And I want to be able to show confidence in him and put him out there and let him go play. It just never gave the opportunity. It wasn't just Amir. It was other guys, a lot of guys that I would have loved to have played in that game, but the opportunity never presented itself. And we still played a lot of people.
When you've got a week like this and you've got, you know, some young players, you're talking about your wideouts wanting to be more well-rounded and things like that, do you sit down with those guys and have that kind of one-on-one conversation to be like, hey, this is a big week? Got some things we want to get accomplished like that, or are you just going to let it play out?
No, we give every player on the team 3 to 4 notes of what they got to get better at. Every coach is assigned their players to say, here's your 3 target areas you got to improve on. Might be special teams for one guy, might be depth of routes, might be block. I mean, it's very specific because we want them to have a purpose in practice this week. If you're not careful, you're like, what am I doing out here? You know, I'm just like treading. I mean, just treading water. No, we don't want to do that. We want to get better. We want to have target areas get better. Offense had 3 goals. Defense had 3 goals today, and we'll continue to work on those. Special teams had 3 goals, and we got to improve because we got whipped on special teams the other night.
With Dominic Blaylock, you end up putting him back there and returning that game. How would you sort of assess how he did in that role as well as he snaps a wide receiver on Saturday?
Well, he caught one and didn't catch one, so he was 50-50, and you can't be 50-50 in this. In this league, you got to be batting 90.
How do you contribute to the efficiency of these newcomers, the contributions of J. Daniel, KJ Wolf? I mean, these players have all become incredibly pivotal. Is it the assistant coaching staff? Is it the talent recognition on your part?
Oh, they're good players. I mean, those guys were all good players where they were last year. I mean, Wolf was he went to the SEC media days. I mean, Lawrence Cager was a major factor for Miami, and DJ was his team's leading corner. So, I mean, they're good football players. We're just thankful and blessed to have recruited them and also prepared them to play in big games. That's why they came. They wanted to play these big games. I think they're good players, and they fit well in our system. They all three, I mean, we needed Eli Wolf. We needed Lawrence Cager, and we needed DJ Daniels. So they fit needs we needed, and they've played well.
How much credit needs to be? You're talking about those perimeter plays that you guys had, and it seemed like that they were close to being really big plays, but one guy would blow it up.
Yeah.
Is it that you have to give some credit to Notre Dame yeah. for the plays they're making as opposed to breakdowns of being able to make those blocks?
Well, I think it's both ways. I mean, they just beat us. I mean, Matt Landers has got a screen that's probably going to go out, and we miss a block. Matt Landers got a reverse that we think was going to be a big play, and we miss a block. And they were drive killers. You know, both of them hurt us, and they were people getting whipped on the perimeter. That's why I say what I said. We had some big plays. The bubble by Dom, where George really blocked well, that was a big play. We had a swipe play where Brian got out on the perimeter for 10 to 12 yards. It was good blocking on the perimeter. So we had good and bad. We just didn't have a lot of consistency. And the better teams you play, they're gonna beat you sometime.
Two more questions.
How valuable was a close call game like that to you at this stage of the season for you as far as team state, as far as your kids recognizing how much better they've got to get in the championship?
It was, you're talking about the closeness of the game, the score and all?
Oh, yeah, just, I mean, the type of game it was. It wasn't another goal.
Well, yeah, that's great. I mean, I personally like them better when you beat them, you know, and it's a little more decided. But, I mean, there's going to be games like that. I mean, that's critical. I 100% think when you play in the SEC, you're going to play games like that week in and week out. I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know which one it's going to be. But, you know, everybody's going to look at the Las Vegas Lions and say, well, they're supposed to beat this team. Those games are going to come down to those crunch time plays and decisions and opportunities. And the only way you get better at them is be in them. So at least we gain some confidence from the fact we played in it. And I can acknowledge that that is helpful, that we got a little, you know, hey, we can handle this adversity. Yeah, I don't think it's a real tough balance. It depends on what you're doing defensively. Is it 38-34 or is it 14-10? You know what I mean? There's really two different type games. What kind of quarterback are you playing? Been in a lot of games where I've been on them headphones saying, it ain't ever over. You better score all you can score. You know what I mean? Then I've been in those games before where, you know, like the Auburn one here a couple years ago, that I don't know, 2 years ago or something. I mean, it was neither team could really do anything. And it was a matter of I'm playing to win this game and not have a defense screw it up. So I think you have both those, and you got to go with the flow of the game.